Well, we've seen a couple of inflation reports surprised to the upside, beating economists' expectations. A lot of concern now being raised in the financial media and by investors as to whether or not we are going to see a reacceleration in the inflation outlook. Of course, that means interest rates are also ticking back up, and this is pushing off the possibility of near-term Fed rate cuts out to May or June, with some analysts even saying that Fed rate cuts may get pushed off to the second half of this year. So lots of things that are in flux, and joining us today to speak about this is Chris Poplava, CIO of Financial Sense Wealth Management. So Chris, let's talk about the inflation trends that we're looking at. We saw a hotter than expected producer price index and also CPI, the consumer price index. So both on the producer side and on the consumer side, seeing inflation pick up a little bit. How concerned are you about this?
Well, I think everyone should be concerned, the Fed, investors, consumers. Here's the problem is we had all this money created. We pushed it into the system. And it hasn't contracted. So yes, inflation's not at 9% like it was in 2022, but it's also not negative, meaning we haven't seen a decline in prices. We've just seen a moderation in their escalation. But oh my gosh, I mean, no matter what you look at, grocery bills, utility bills, here in Arizona where I live, I just got a 50% increase in my water bill.
Wow.
And that's quite a shocker. They're warning there may be more to come. And unfortunately, part of that is just, you know, I'm in Arizona and you've got California, which gets kind of an unfair share of Colorado River water. So they don't take cuts. Arizona, Nevada, New Mexico, and others do. So that's part of his politics. But still, that's a huge increase. And, you know, for the market, you know, last year we had a declining trend in inflation. And there was communication from the Fed that they were getting close to being done with raising rates. So the next progression from that is essentially rate cuts. And the market was pricing a fair amount of rate cuts. I think at one point, you know, four rate cuts or, you know, four quarter point cuts, so a total of a 2 percentage point drop in the federal funds rate. And unfortunately, the data has not corroborated that trend of falling inflation. I mean, even if you look at the CPI, it's more or less stabilized since last summer. I mean, we've been pretty stable at, you know, roughly a 3% annual inflation rate. But there's leading indicators of inflation that are starting to hook up that do pose some concern. And we've gotten a lot of those recently in the past 2 weeks since we last spoke. One of them being the ISM manufacturing report, the prices paid index, that now is back into expansionary territory at 53. The one that really kind of shocked was the prices paid for the servicing PMI. That jumped all the way to 64. So that's a huge jump in terms of expansionary territory. And those tend to lead, when you look at a historical relationship, anywhere from 3 to possibly 6 months, the overall consumer price index. So it's arguing that the trough is in, that we're not getting to 2%, which is what the Fed wants, that we may actually be accelerating back up to a 3.5-4% inflation rate. It's not just coming from the ISM. There's other things that I look at. For example, the National Federation of Independent Business or Small Business, NFIB, they've got a index in terms of the respondents' plans to raise prices in the next 3 months. That's currently at 33. And previously, that hit a low of, I believe, in the low 20s. But that bottomed back in October of last year, and it's been in a rising trend. And corroborating that is, you know, I'm sure listeners may or may not have heard of Dr. Copper or Dr. Cosby. Dr. Copper is basically saying that copper has a PhD in economics, meaning you tend to see copper inflect at just before a major economic turning point. So it heads down before recession, and it heads up before an expansion. And the other one that people give a PhD to is the Dr. Cosby or the Korean stock index, the Cosby index. And because Korea has a huge export economy. You look at the US, we're a consumption-based economy. Korea is an export economy. You've got Samsung, I mean, obviously a huge exporter of semiconductors and finished technology products, appliances, cars. You've got Kia and so forth. So when you look at the activity or export activity of Korea, it can kind of give you a good sense of the global economy. And when you look at Korean exports, they are up 18% year over year, and they've been inflecting sharply higher. Those tend to lead the U.S. inflation, commodity prices in general, by about 3 to 6 months as well. at one point, they hit a low of roughly around -12, -15% year over year last late summer to early fall, and they've been heading sharply higher since. So there's a lot of data out there corroborating that the inflation rate may have bottomed. Now, one of the big ones that's going to be continually weighing on inflation, and there's owner's equivalent rent, and that's because that lags actual housing appreciation with a significant lag. We all know housing prices year over year have been declining for quite some time. So if you strip that out, inflation is actually quite sticky and is heading up. I mean, you look at insurance costs. One of the ones that stood out for me on the CPI report, Chris, was insurance premiums. Those are up anywhere from 20 to 24%, and which was kind of odd to me, but I was reading into it. And I guess part of that reason is litigation costs, that the cost of lawsuits has gone up. So the size and the number of lawsuits related to accidents have picked up, forcing insurers to pay out even more. And they're just doing what businesses do. They're passing that right on to the consumer. So there is a lot of inflation still, I think, in the pipeline that didn't really go away. It just moderated. That's going to have major implications for financial assets. I mean, we've already seen interest rates here in the US start to head up sharply higher. Mortgage rates are moving back up. That's going to, you know, there was some signs of life in housing that could, you know, put a kibosh to that. And when you look at the bond market, I mean, it was pretty rough. A lot of people were getting very excited. A lot of CIOs were talking about extending the maturity of their bond portfolio by long-term US treasuries. But I'm looking, Chris, at a 30-year treasury. It's down 5.5% year to date. A 10-year treasury is down 2.8%. And the bond benchmark's down about 2.25%. So bonds so far this year are losing proposition. The stock market's still doing well. I mean, obviously, it's being powered by tech. The S&P is up 5.4. But if you look at the S&P equal weight, it's only up 2. The Dow is up just under 3. So a little bit muted. But the concern I have is this trend, if it continues, these leading inflation indicators, it does argue that inflation for the CPI and PPI are likely to head higher. And the mantra won't be about, or the discussions won't be about rate cuts. They're going to be, it's going to be back to deja vu. It's going to be 2023 all over again, where Powell is saying higher for longer. And I don't think the markets are primed for that.
Yeah. And really the message that we've been having here on Financial Sense ever since COVID was that we were expecting a prolonged period of higher inflation. And at this point, you know, like you noted, we have moderated considerably from the peak that we saw in 2022. But the question is whether or not we're going to be sticking more around this 3 to 4% or getting as high as 5% or going back to the Fed's goal of 2%. And I think, you know, from a lot of what our guests have been saying on the show, we could get down to that 2% range again, but that's likely going to happen in the context of further economic weakness. However, if we do see the economy continue to accelerate, which we have seen at the beginning of this year, so far, then that's going to keep inflation at that stickier level. So we probably would be looking again, you know, with the 3 handle on the CPI, if not as high as 5%, if things do start to heat up even more.
You know, that's true, Chris. And this kind of, you know, coupled with that is a concern about the soft versus hard landing debate. And the reason why that's important is if inflation heats up and we get more towards a hard landing, I mean, we're talking stagflation. I mean, that is the worst case scenario where, especially for the Fed, where if the economy is slowing, the Fed would want to ease. But if inflation's rising, they're just going to contribute to inflationary pressures. So that is a really negative environment that's going to smell a lot more like what we saw in the 1970s. I mean, at least early at coming out of COVID, yes, we had inflation, but we also had strong growth. So if we see weak growth amidst, you know, strong inflation, that is not a good recipe for either stocks or bonds. That, you know, default risk will go up, which will hurt corporate bonds and so forth. Obviously, just the move higher in inflation will likely pressure interest rates higher, hurting all types of bonds. And then the weak growth is going to be a hit to corporate earnings. So that could also be a negative for the stock market. So, you know, watching that is going to be still a huge importance going forward. So far, the data has been decent, you know, kind of hit and miss. We had a decent jobs report for January, but this week we got a pretty dismal retail sales report, came in below expectations. That kind of lines up, Chris, with what I'm seeing in terms of foot traffic. For example, when I pull up Ross Stores, a discounter, Bloomberg has a kind of comparables as well, looking at other companies like Ollie's Bargain Outlet, Burlington Stores, TJ Maxx, so off-price retailers. And what I could see going back 3 years was year over year, they actually had declining foot traffic in 22 and 21. And that's, I think a lot of it had to do with people getting stimulus checks and shopping at higher end retailers. But starting in January, or actually really it was December of 22, I started to see negative year over year monthly declines turning into positive. So in December of 22, we flipped to a positive year over year growth in store traffic for these off price retailers. And that persisted throughout 2023. I'm talking double-digit growth in store traffic, you know, for these discounters. And now what I'm noticing 24 is rather than the sharp growth rates of anywhere from 10 to 15% year over year, it's moderating, Chris, now to single digits in January of 2024 of this year. And when I compare that to, for example, Nordstrom's, I mean, let me just give you some of the numbers to show you how eye-opening they are. In May of 21, Nordstrom's foot store traffic was up 972%. I mean, obviously, where I'm comparing to, you know, almost the peak of the lockdowns. But still, I mean, go to November of 2021 versus November of 2020, store traffic was up 62% for Nordstrom's. And then when we get into 22 in the first quarter, Nordstrom's was still seeing anywhere from 20 to 40% year-over-year growth in store traffic. However, cut off those stimulus checks, and then the traffic fell off a cliff. So just let me give you an example of that. In April of 2022, the year-over-year traffic, foot traffic for Nordstrom's was 22%. Fast forward 2 months to June of 22, it's -1. So completely reversed. And when we look at that, it continued to actually accelerate so that when we were in February of 23, so last year, we're starting to see now double-digit decline rates for traffic to Nordstrom's, Dillard's, Macy's, Kohl's. And unfortunately, Chris, for those retailers, that's continued into January of this year. For example, Nordstrom's same-store traffic was down about 4%, but you go to Dillard's, down 12%, Macy's, 16%, Kohl's store traffic is down 17%. So we are seeing, Chris, a persistence in moving away from the higher-end retailers to the off-price, low-cost retailers, dollar stores, and the like. So you're seeing the shift in spending patterns by the consumer. What we're also starting to see, Chris, is the same with in terms of restaurants. Restaurant sales and foot traffic are starting to go down. So it's clear that the consumer is being pinched. And one of the things that we see and hear almost on a daily basis, and we saw a couple of announcements. I believe Cisco announced a 5% cut to their workforce. Is I'm not hearing, Chris, anyone coming out announcing a 5% jump in their workforce in terms of hiring. All you're hearing about is layoffs. So it does kind of put to question the validity of those non-farm payrolls, given we're seeing actual changing trends and patterns in the consumer in terms of where they're shopping and how much they're shopping. So this is going to be a really precarious position, Chris, for the stock market, particularly at all-time highs, the S&P over 5,000, is if this happens where we do end up slipping into a recession, mild or not, at the same time inflation is picking up, that could be a very nasty picture for the stock market. So again, Chris, you know, all options are on the table. You know, we may see an acceleration in the economy, but it's the reason why we're not pedals to the metal in the sense of taking maximum risk. We're neutral to slightly underweight stocks at this moment. And as I've mentioned many times, keeping an eye on that exit door, because if we do kind of have a stagflationary environment, it could get really ugly for stocks going forward. So really important to keep an eye on the exit and constantly on the data.
Yeah, that was one thing that Jim Bianco had said on our show recently, is that the main story here comes down to inflation and interest rates, right? So if we do start to see, like you said, these leading indicators for inflation end up accurately signaling a pickup 3 to 6 months down the road or a sustained uptrend in inflation from current levels, then that is going to be putting more pressure on the Fed to either stay pat or conversely even raise rates, which Larry Summers actually just came out and said. But if inflation does pick up from here, then of course, borrowing costs will go up, interest rates are going to go up. And that is a loss or a drain of liquidity to the system. And of course, that also raises some of the larger concerns when we think about commercial real estate, which there's been some more rumblings about that as well. So a number of things, like you said, that are going to be key to watch. And I know that you do have your finger on the pulse of a lot of these leading indicators when it comes to inflation, interest rates, and the economy. So with that said, if any of you listening would like to get in contact with us and speak with Chris or the rest of our investment team about how we can assist you, feel free to give us a call at 888-486-3939 or go to our website, financialsensewealth.com. Chris, always a pleasure to get an update from you. Look forward to speak with you in another 2 weeks.
Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the Financial Sense staff and do not take into account listener suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense News Hour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies mentioned in Financial Sense or arising out of the use of any material on the News Hour. Be advised that you invest at your own risk.